Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. 100 years ago, and then sometime, Jefferson County lacked many of the conveniences we utilize today. Our farm families faced a multitude of challenges and had few places to turn for help. Hungry for knowledge, many flocked to presentations called the Washington Experiment Station to hear about experiments being done at the new state's land-grant college in Pullman, Washington. Today, we know this organization as the WSU, Washington State University, Jefferson County Extension Office. Cliff Moore, the director of the WSU Jefferson County Extension Office, is with us today to tell us more about the history and the ongoing programs that serve our county. Cliff, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Missy. Thank you.
I am fascinated by the legacy of this resource, but first, do tell our listeners a little bit about you and how you came to work in this capacity.
I certainly will, and as a representative of the university, I do always like to acknowledge that the WSU recognizes that its locations statewide are on the homelands of Native peoples who have lived in this region from time immemorial. Currently, there are 42 tribes in Washington, 35 of which are federally recognized, that share the traditional homelands and waterways in what is now Washington State. And here on the Olympic Peninsula, we share this land with the Lower Elwha Tklallam, the Jamestown Tklallam, the Port Gamble Tklallam, the Skokomish, the Quinault, the Ho, the Quileute, and the Macaw tribe. And we recognize as a university that we owe honor and respect to those tribes. So a little bit about me. This is actually my 20th year working for Washington State University. I started in 1991, worked 13 years on campus and helped start our university's distance learning program. In those days, we used videotapes, VHS videotapes, if you can believe it. And our extension office here in Jefferson County was one of the first extension offices in the state to opt into that program. And so I actually spent a lot of time here in the mid-90s and early 2000s promoting access to higher education for rural communities. I later worked in Thurston County as the county extension director. And then I took a 10-year break from the university, and I served as the county manager in Thurston County and most recently a city manager in Yakima. But I missed higher education. I missed extension. So I returned to the university about 18 months ago when I became the Jefferson County extension director.
Well, we're so glad to have you in this community. It probably explains why, from what I can tell on your website, how you really do well with intergovernmental, interagency, a lot of nonprofit collaborations. Thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself. I think it would be really lovely if we learned a little bit more about that history. I was so impressed when I read about, 100 years or more, this organization has had pretty deep roots and impacts in our community. Can you flesh out a little bit more about how it got started in our county?
You bet. Washington State University is a land-grant university. It's the first land-grant university in the state of Washington. Land-grant universities were actually started by the Morrill Act of 1862. It's legislation that was signed by Abraham Lincoln. And what the Morrill Act did was it said that every state in the Union at that time, and then every state that would join subsequently, had to set aside a tract of land to be the people's university. Hmm. Up until that time, higher education had been sort of the purview of the wealthy and the elite. And the notion of a land-grant university, a people's university, was really to help individuals in our country, many of whom were involved in agriculture, subsistence agriculture, and later production agriculture for sale. But the goal of the land-grant universities was to drive out research that would help farmers in our country do a better job of farming, to grow more crops, to grow better crops, how to handle crops after they were harvested, how to store them, how to prepare food. So the Morrill Act of 1862 set aside attractive land as a land-grant university in each state. Pullman became the site for the land-grant in our state. Walla Walla had first choice, but they actually took the prison as their main source, their main economic driver. And Pullman got second choice, and so we took the land grant. And in fact, WSU isn't the only land-grant university in the state of Washington. In 1994, the Land Grant Expansion Act created a number of tribal colleges as land-grant schools. And here in Washington, the Northwest Indian College in Skagit County, on the traditional homeland of the Lummi tribe, is also a land-grant university. So we actually have two land-grant universities here in the state. But then, moving forward, the Smith-Lever Act of 1914 created the Cooperative Extension Service. And that extension service was really designed to provide a local mechanism for communities to receive the benefits of the research of a land-grant university. The Cooperative Extension Service creates a partnership between county government and the university in every county of the state. So in Washington, we actually have 39 county extension offices and also an extension office on the Colville Reservation. But there are WSU staff and faculty members in every county of the state who serve as kind of links to research that happens on campus and as the local method for delivering information about that research to our local communities. Now, historically, it's been thought of as a sort of, you know, serving the agricultural community, and that's actually correct. A lot of the early land-grant universities have the initials A&M after them. That stands for agricultural and mechanical. And in those days, the mechanics of agriculture started with horse-drawn plows, and then it progressed, obviously, through the years with mechanized machinery and actually things like we do at our research and extension stations around the state, in precision agriculture, where we've got drip lines and we've learned through research exactly how much water at what time of day benefits crops so that we can make good use of our aquifer and also improve productivity. Even before the Smith-Lever Act, there was a county extension agent here in Jefferson County. Starting in 1905, the first county extension agent was a gentleman named Ovid T. McWhorter. Hmm. And he was here serving the agricultural community. And we have been serving the agricultural community in the county now for 115 years. But we do a lot more than just agriculture. And that's one of the things I think, you know, your program is a lot about volunteerism. We have programs where we train volunteers to provide service in the community, and we can go through those if you would like to do so.
Well, what I think would be helpful is to maybe we can get an overview of the four primary programs that you have under your belt, but let me check in with our listeners before we dive into this. If you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and you're listening to KPTZ 91.9. We're speaking with Cliff Moore, director of the WSU Jefferson County Extension Office, and we're so glad you're here today. If you just joined us, though, and would like to get the beginning of this, there is a recording archived on our website. So, Cliff, you were talking robustly about the legacy and history and the cooperative extension services that grew out of the most recent legislation. And we're familiar with extension services, but the primary areas that you have at the Jefferson location, is that standard to all of the extension offices or is it unique to Jefferson County?
Well, I would say, generally speaking, extension offices are involved in our four main program areas in one way or another. And those include 4-H and youth development, water quality and environmental preservation, small farms education, which also where we work with small farms on economic viability. And more we've been looking at food access and food security issues. Mm. And then our Master Gardener program. Master Gardeners and 4-H and water quality all have opportunities for volunteers. But also here in Jefferson County, at the request of the county government, the Noxious Weed Control Program is housed with the county extension office. So we actually have five main program areas here in Jefferson County.
Yeah, I was really struck. You also, the economic development, the partnership in, you know, helping bring at some point broadband, or it was quite a process. So if we could just go one grouping at a time, we could look at how it impacts our community today and where people might interleave into the opportunities, given that we have a COVID lens over all of our interactions. So for example, the Agricultural Extension Small Farms Program, just give us a soundbite and where we might interact with that organization if a listener is inclined to want a service.
Our Small Farms Program is really focused on providing education to new and beginning farmers and those that are interested in pursuing agriculture as a vocation. We run a number of training programs that are specific to the small farm community, whole farm planning, which talks about business planning as well as marketing your products. We do a program called Cultivating Success, where folks that maybe are just thinking about starting a small farm or have a 5-acre plot and they want to know how to make the best use of that. So that's how we engage with the small farms community. But in addition, you know, as we build around program areas, this year we were successful in obtaining some funding from the State Department of Health to bring our SNAP Ed program, our nutrition education program, to Jefferson County. We work with Northwest Harvest, for example, on food access and security issues. They fund a little bit of one of our staff members to do outreach to food banks and help farmers, for example. We've got a program where we have a small amount of funding to buy produce from farms. It's delivered to food banks that send donated to community members. So the small farms program, there's not a lot of volunteer opportunities except really with the food banks. And mm-hmm. our food banks, our local area food banks, always need volunteers, especially, you know, in this pandemic period. Community access of food banks has increased pretty significantly. That's kind of a reality of what's happening economically in our country right now. So the opportunities for volunteering in the small farms area really are with the food banks.
I see. And if you have a website for the regional small farms program, I noticed that that's a newer website.
Yeah. So the small farms folks, what they've done really is identify all of the small farm producers in the county. And we did this starting for the farm tour. I mean, historically in Jefferson County, historically, we've had about 20 years of farm tours. Typically takes place, you know, in person over a full weekend. And we create a map and we make that available in the community. And people come from all over the region, all over the state, and even from out of state to spend a weekend or 3 or 4 days up here visiting small farms, you know, buying from the producers themselves, sampling different kinds of cheeses or meat products. And so the new website really talks about how to eat local first and how to access local products, what's available at the farmer's market. We work very closely with the Jefferson County Farmer's Market. So we try to make sure that anybody that goes to our WSU Jefferson County Extension website and has an interest in locally produced farm products can get the information about how to access them, where to go, and what the farmer's market, what the co-op has available.
You mentioned the water and natural resources is also one of the programs that you have under your umbrella. Tell us a little bit about opportunities for our community to engage with that programming.
We here in Jefferson County Extension staff the Marine Resource Committee. There are 8 marine resource committees in the Puget Sound region and the counties that border the Puget Sound. And the Marine Resource Committee is funded by the Northwest Straits Foundation, and it's a volunteer committee, so folks can volunteer to serve on the Marine Resource Committee. Our staff member pulls together the monthly agenda and the monthly meetings. But the Marine Resource Committee folks have adopted a number of projects. For example, our volunteers are citizen scientists, and they're trained, and they've been doing forage fish monitoring in shorelines that have been restored. So they'll go out and collect samples. They'll send them to the lab. They'll identify forage fish eggs, for example, and through that analysis determine how successful the restoration of the tidelands is. We've got other projects that the Marine Resource Committee volunteers manage, including the reintroduction of the Olympia oyster in certain watersheds in the county.
Is this currently taking place during our pandemic? Opportunities
yes,
like
but
that?
Under a scaled back, according to the governor's rules about the number of people that can gather outside all of the non-pharmaceutical interventions are in place, masking, hand washing, social distancing, you know, keeping more than 6 feet apart. So those programs have been scaled back, and so there's fewer opportunities for volunteers right at this minute only because of the pandemic.
Yes.
But they are taking place, but we are obviously being extremely careful because we don't want to contribute to the number of cases here in the county.
Well, Cliff, I'm sorry.
One more program I think would be of interest to your listeners is we have an eelgrass monitoring program. Eelgrass is really important habitat for a lot of species in the Puget Sound and for forage fish in particular, for other species as well. So we have a program where we put out buoys in eelgrass areas in the bay, where we've asked folks, it's a voluntary no anchor program. So our volunteers are out there every spring putting out the buoys, making sure that they're in the right spot, and checking on them on a regular basis. And those buoys have signs on them that say, look, this is an eelgrass protection area. We're asking you please don't anchor in this area because the anchors disturb the eelgrass and then destroy habitat. So we work really hard on preserving that habitat for a number of species here that live in our marine waters.
Well, Cliff, it's inevitable. This happens so often. We run out of time before we get to the meat of some of the things we'd really like to discuss. Love to have you on so we could flesh out more fully the 4-H component and the Master Gardeners component. I thank you for joining us today. It just flies by with fascinating topics such as these. If folks are listening, how could they best reach you or find out more information about these programs?
The best way is really to go to our website, www.wsu.jeffersoncounty extension, and just find us there. We're all of our staff, our office is closed to the public, generally speaking, but we're all available by phone, by email, by video conference. And we try to be as responsive as we can to community requests. And again, I would love to come back and talk about volunteer opportunities through our 4-H program and our Master Gardener program.
You've got it. Cliff, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Taylor Clark, and the editing is in the masterful hands of Jared Dufresne. I'd like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and compelling conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. If you have missed part of this program or wish to hear previous episodes, you can join us on the web at kptz.org. Remember, send an email to everybodycan@kptz.org if you know of someone who's stepped up in our community or have suggestions for our program. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day for someone.